With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question to one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Coming up here on the show, because we are a full-service sports radio show, we are going to go inside the Italian Football League. Yesterday, we taught you about the Italian Super Bowl, known as the Italian Bowl. There's an Italian-American Football League in Italy where they have dynasties and Pro Bowls and multi-tiered playoff system and a full league going on. For 37 years, they just wrapped up Italian Bowl 37. So we had Jolton Joe D'Aloisio, Giuseppe D'Aloisio, as we like to call him around here, formerly of the DA show, kind of educate us on what the history and the context of the Italian league is. Well, Mraz, because he is a super producer, actually yesterday took to the phones, started using his international minutes and data plan.
Not cheap.
Dialed up multiple front offices in the Italian league and was trying to figure out how to speak to them in Italian. Some of them spoke English, but a lot of them did not. And you were trying to figure out how to book one of the GMs. You were looking for a head coach, maybe the commissioner, and you got little far, but not very far with a lot of these guys.
Right. I almost got to the point I was going to call the Olive Garden, ask for a waiter, and have them pretend to be a football player.
You know what? It got very dire yesterday. But Mraz was able to dig up through some pidgin Spanish. He opened up one of those English to Spanish dictionaries and translation apps. He was able to book star player, corner, and wide receiver for the Florence Griffins, Mike Vannucci. Now, Mike is an American. He was born, ironically, in Long Island, grew up in Long Island, where Mraz is from, played in New Jersey, college football at William Patterson, then ended up going over to Ligue Italia to play for the Florence Griffins. So we are going to have him join us on the show. Is he going to join us from Rome or from Florence coming up next segment?
No, I think he's going to join us from Jersey.
Okay, all right. So we are going to get the context of what this Italian league is all about, and we are very, very excited. Mike Vannucci, sounds like he's got some Italian heritage in there as well, is going to join us coming up in about 15 minutes from now, and who knows what you're going to get? Who knows what you're going to get? I think we have to just play this under the entire interview. Mike Vannucci, Florence Griffins, two-way player, Iron Man, Chuck Bednarik, if you will, coming up here at about 20 past the hour. So is Carmelo headed to Houston? We now have reports that the Knicks and the Rockets are on the quote-unquote two-yard line. Look it up. Punch it in. And sending Carmelo to Houston in a three- or four-way deal.
It's about the money. M-O-N-E-Y-D-A.
We discussed this somewhat yesterday toward the end of the show. Does this make sense for either team? I think it does for the Knicks. Only because the Knicks are trying to move away from the high-priced veterans that have defined the franchise for so long. The New York Knicks have been stuck on a treadmill of mediocrity and now below mediocrity for a long time because they wanted to lavish contracts on aging free agents instead of drafting and developing their own guys for a fix-it-now, win-now, broken system. And look, Carmelo, when he was acquired, was a hero coming home to New York, a guy that may have grown up in Baltimore but was born in Brooklyn and wanted to play for the Knicks. But there was a problem with acquiring Carmelo right from the jump, and that was they didn't wait for free agency. They hurriedly tried to get the trade done during the season, and so they had to give up a bunch of pieces of the puzzle so that Carmelo joined a team that was worse than had he just signed as a free agent, which was their first mistake. They had Donnie Walsh running the Knicks operation, and James Dolan, being the moron that he is, said, "We can't wait, we can't wait, we can't wait." And James Dolan was being told by Donnie Walsh, "Boss, just wait. He wants to come here. Let's not give up assets that we've drafted. Let's not give up pieces that we've acquired. Let's have him join a better team. Boss, let's wait. I know we're going to sign him in the offseason. He wants to be here. We've got the money. It's all but assured." And Dolan basically said, "No, I don't care. I'm going to fire you. Get out of my way. I'm doing this." And he brokered the deal to acquire Carmelo for trade pieces. Stupid. This is the stupidity that the Knicks work with every single day because of James Dolan than other warring factions. So Carmelo joins a franchise that was never, ever really good. They won 50 games one year. They got to the second round of the playoffs, him and Amari Stoudemire, but it was never a great team because they gave up assets to get him. And then with Phil Jackson, it's been a disastrous team. So getting rid of him now, even if it's 50 cents of the dollar, makes sense. As long as you don't have to buy him out so that he's playing somewhere else and you're paying him, if you get something in return, okay. Great. So for the Knicks, it makes a lot of sense. For the Houston Rockets, in a 3 or 4 way deal, who knows who gets what the Knicks get back? I mean, that's how creative it has to get because Carmelo's contract is enormous. Plus, there's a 15% trade kicker so that Carmelo's contract will go up 15% to the team that acquires him. And he has to still waive the no trade clause. But for the Rockets, it already feels like it may not work with James Harden and Chris Paul. That it already has the fingerprints of a mistaken marriage. And now you add Carmelo into the mix because Carmelo doesn't operate as just a coming off the bench scorer. Unless he wants to do that. Maybe he could adjust. Maybe he could evolve. But he is at his best as a volume shooter. Well, you're not going to be a volume shooter when you have got James Harden on your team. You can't touch the ball in every possession like you did with the Knicks when you've got Chris Paul on your team. And how many fewer touches is Carmelo going to get now that it's James Harden and Chris Paul on that squad? Also, is Carmelo Anthony now going to become a three-point sniper? Because that's how the Rockets won last year. With guys that could all drain the three around James Harden. Well, that's not going to be Chris Paul. Harden obviously can shoot from three, but is Carmelo Anthony going to somehow develop overnight into a three-point artist? Who is going to, by the way, play defense? I mean, I know it's an offensive-oriented league now, and I know the Rockets got all the way to the second round and nearly the conference finals, had one of the best records of the NBA by not playing defense, but you've got James Harden and Carmelo on the floor at the same time? Well, now you're playing 5-on-3 defensively down the other way because neither one of those guys wants to play any defense whatsoever. Is James Harden going to going to rebound? No. And Carmelo's not going to rebound either. And Chris Paul sure as hell ain't going to rebound. So what I'm saying is, if you thought about a Venn diagram and you put the talents of Chris Paul and James Harden and Carmelo Anthony together, there'd be a lot of overlap. A lot of overlap. Like, the things that the guys don't do well, they all don't do well. I don't like that conversation, and I don't like that combination, and I don't like the way that that team is built in that way. I understand acquiring star power, and here's where it would work, is that James Harden has an off-night scoring. Well, Carmelo can pick you up. In the playoffs, James Harden has that grotesque game, the elimination game against the Spurs. Carmelo, perhaps that day, that night, can throw up 31 points, bail you out of some situations. Carmelo still has plenty of scoring left in him. The issue is he doesn't have anything else left in him. He's not going to run in transition as quickly as you want to push when you have Harden and Chris Paul. So you've got to have a more deliberate offense, more so than you had last year. He's not going to play defense. He's not going to rebound. And he's probably not going to be as efficient of a three-point shooter as you need. I don't know, man. I don't know. We're in a land of acquiring star talent, but I'm not certain this is the type of star talent, the combination that you want to put together. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. We were discussing the naming of cars as the overnight show named a car with listener help, Princess Leia. I just wanted known that I'm a Star Wars fan as well, and I'm never naming my car Chewbacca. Okay, it's just not going to happen. I'm not naming my car Lando Calrissian. What's up, Lando? You going for a ride today? Spin around the block, you ready? Oh man, the air conditioning on Calrissian's not working. But to each their own. Other people love naming their cars. Okay. Michael tweets, DA, how do you feel about naming houses like a beach house? Where do we stand on this, guys? I'm not okay naming houses.
No, and if you have a beach house, wouldn't you just call it the beach house?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't count as the name. You're not going to say you want to go to Charlie?
Yeah, you want to go to Carrie this weekend for a couple days? Does that make sense?
Sit by the sand? Let's go to Gregory. Sit by the sand.
Yeah, why would we name the beach house? We name the boat, okay. We name the car, all right. I'm now apparently getting swayed that way. I don't see naming the house.
No, it's just the beach house, the lake house.
The mountain house.
The mountain house.
The city house.
The farmhouse.
The farmhouse.
The barnyard.
Yeah. We're not going to William over the weekend. All right, kids, pack up. 3-day weekend. We're going to Fred. Michael also tweets, DA, what's the name of your spaceship? Look, I'm not a good guy to probably weigh in on this type of thing because, yes, our metaphor is for a spaceship in outer space as a sports talk party. So this is probably not my territory to be speaking, but I do not have a name for the metaphorical spaceship either. Bubba in Clemson tweets, remember Christine or Gone in 60 Seconds? The car was Eleanor. Been common since the 50s to name cars. All right. All right, I guess I'm being swayed.
Yeah, been common since the 50s, because before that was horse and buggy.
What do we call our Model Ts back then? Back in the 20s. Rolled off the scrapyard. Rolled off that assembly line.
I wonder if that's where naming its car... This is a light bulb moment, real quick before we break. I wonder if this is where naming our cars come from. If people were naming them in the 50s, was it because all your horses had names when you were getting carried around by them? So, like, your cars took the place of horses, therefore had names. Like, there was Oscar and Ed and all them riding you with the carriage into town to the post office. Next thing you know, you got a Mitsubishi and you're naming it Tony.
Well, you do realize we weren't using horse and buggies in 1948.
Well, when did cars start? Probably around there, right?
Definitely not. Henry Ford, the Model T, is like 1918 or 1920.
I thought the Model T was like an airplane.
Whoa. Whoa, no. Definitely not. So you thought there were no cars in the 40s?
No, I mean, maybe they start to triculate like Google in the 80s, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They were commonplace.
Uh-huh. Yeah. No, definitely commonplace. Yeah. Yeah, that's World War II. There were totally cars in World War II.
There were tanks.
There were definitely tanks and definitely passenger cars.
So, like, the first time a 16-year-old gets their learner's permit and hops into a Geo Prism is what year?
Well, a Geo Prism is a relatively modern vehicle, but you could be driving in the 20s.
Okay. All right. So never mind my horse naming theory. I was going with the names.
How do you like that one, Bilotti?
I thought the saber-toothed tiger was still around, so.
You can't speak.
I can't.
I don't know, but that was a shot, right? I took a shot.
You took a shot. Hey, shoot or shoot?
Shoot or shoot?
When we come back, Italian League legend Mike Vannucci of the Florence Griffins to talk about the Italian Bowl coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Get ready, rap icon and innovator Jay-Z bringing his new album to life this fall on the 444 tour. Don't want to miss the epic live concert experience. Get your tickets tomorrow at LiveNation.com. Of course, Jay-Z penned and produced the theme song for the DA show, public service announcement, PSA. If you are wondering what that opening hip-hop track was that we open up the show every day with. Yesterday, we learned a lot about the Italian League because Calvin Johnson had some salty comments about the Detroit Lions that went national, and he was doing it as an ambassador in Italy. Why? Because Italy actually has an American Football League. So we had Jolton Joe D'Aloisio, formerly on the Wheels of Steel here on the DA show, call in yesterday to discuss with me the Italian Super Bowl.
Championship game, which is now called the Italian Bowl, was previously called Super Bowl Italiano.
A Super Bowl Italiano. And he was helping me pronounce some of the team names as well.
First off, you started off with the Bergamo Lions, I think you said.
I said Bergamo. Is that wrong?
Oh, it's Bergamo.
Bergamo.
You got to roll the R, D.A. Bergamo Lions.
So because we are a full-service sports radio show, Merez has tracked down a star player from the Italian League. He is a two-way player for the Florence Griffins. He formerly played college football at William Patterson University in Wayne, New Jersey. Wide receiver and corner for the Florence Griffins, Mike Vannucci, a up-and-coming star in the league. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you very much for having me.
You got it. Well, thanks so much for joining us. Now, let's start here. Did you know that Calvin Johnson Megatron was out promoting the Italian League?
I found out about that. So my team, we didn't make the playoffs for other reasons. And I found out that Calvin was there when I was already home. I got a flight home early when our season ended. We had the option to stay. I have a business training athlete, so every time I spent over there, I would have lost some time here with my guys. So I didn't find out Calvin was going to be over there until I was already home. And if I had known, I probably would have stayed.
Just to meet him.
Yeah, I mean, just to be around him, just talk to him, would have been awesome.
Now, is it normal for, like, NFL legends to go out and be around the Italian League? I mean, to be quite frank, before Calvin Johnson made these comments, I didn't even know the league existed.
Yeah, it's a really an underground league, but they do a tremendous job over there. I'm not sure if some other legends have been over there, though. I mean, I know they offered Tebow a contract. One of the teams offered Tebow a
contract.
Really?
Wow.
When he was having a hard time finding a team. And Justin Forsett did a camp over in Firenze in Florence a couple of years ago. So there's a guy who used to play next to Calvin Johnson. Not next to him, but he played with him in Detroit. He was an outside receiver. Chris Durham, he was just out there this year.
Interesting.
Playing for a team in Parma.
Interesting. Mike Vannucci, yeah. The Florence Griffins, joins us here on the show. So, riddle me this. What level of football is it? Because I was looking at the roster, and it looked like it's mostly guys from Italy, and I can't imagine they play much high school football in Italy. You're obviously an American, but what level of play are you playing at in that league?
So, I was pleasantly surprised with the competition level. I expected it to go over there and it'd be like high school all over again. But some of the guys there are pretty good athletes. There are some weak spots on every team, like on any other team. But for the most part, I mean, you know, an American's not going over there and rushing for 3,000 yards and 50 touchdowns, you know. So the competition level is pretty high. Each team gets three Americans, and the rest are Italians.
Oh, interesting.
So, and the Americans are usually pretty impactful guys, but sometimes the teams with the best Americans don't win because the Italian guys really make up for the majority of the field. So
interesting.
It's awesome. I was really surprised with the level of play. There were some great players out there.
How many people are in the stands?
It depends where you go. Our team, we didn't have too many people in the stands. But
like a couple hundred, a couple thousand?
Not thousands where we played.
A couple hundred.
The teams up north, I know the two teams in Milan, they get more fans for sure. So Italy's the fan base as far as filling the seats isn't as big, but I know Germany. I know we're talking about Italy, but just in some perspective, Germany gets more fans. I've watched some highlight films from the German league, and they got some more fans over there. But Italy fan base, you know, it's definitely growing. It's without a doubt growing.
It's growing. I mean, the league's 37 years old.
Yeah, I mean, but with now all this social media and everything, you can type in anything. You can get videos. You can get pictures. You can get bios on people. It's definitely helping it grow.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so was it ever a problem to get your paycheck? Like, are any of these teams failing to where you're worried that you won't get paid?
My team was incredible, and that's all I can speak of because this was my first year. We never had a problem. They were a first-class organization. I don't have a single bad thing to say about the team as an organization or the team, the guys I played with. It was an incredible experience. I actually just signed to go back there in January.
Okay.
I don't have one bad thing to say about it. I would recommend it to anybody who's looking to play over after college. It's a very professional experience.
Do fans know what they're watching? I mean, do they get the nuances of football in Italy?
Most of them do. They're doing a good job with youth programs now. So, like you said, there aren't really they don't have high school programs. So,
yeah.
Their youth program, they have like a U6, similar to the way we do soccer in the U.S. We have U16, we have U18 for the travel teams. That's how it is. So each professional club, professional football team has their own youth team, youth program.
Hmm. Okay.
And that's the way they make up for the lack of the high school organization.
Interesting.
And some of the youth programs are pretty well run.
Mike Vannucci joins us for the Florence Griffins, a two-way guy, wide receiver and cornerback there. So
I don't want to be rude just to interject, just so we correct it going forward. It's the Guelphy. It might translate as Griffins. It's the Florence Guelphy.
Guelphy. Yes, I think that's Griffins in Italy, but I didn't in Italian, but I didn't want to try that.
Yeah.
So
you learn something.
So, Mike Vannucci, I'm guessing that your background sounds like it's Italian. Do you have Italian background in your family?
Yeah, my whole family was from Italy.
Okay, is that part of the reason you went over there to play there?
Yeah, so I was getting recruited by a bunch of places, and I actually ended up getting my Italian citizenship. So the Italian league gets two Americans and then one dual citizen.
Mm.
So I count as one of the dual citizens. And the dual citizens can go both ways.
Gotcha.
Which is why I was playing about 100 to 110 plays a game. I mean, it was tough, but I got my dual citizenship, so hopefully I'll be on the Italian. I'll be able to play with the Italian national team in the future.
Wow!
So
okay. So let me just ask you this final question: do they serve like pizza and pasta for pregame and postgame meals everywhere? I mean, is it the most amazing place ever to eat?
Well, the pregame meals, you can really, I mean, I'll say this, no matter what you order to eat there is going to be exceptional.
Yeah.
I mean, I try to eat healthy, and I would always get chicken and spinach, like Paolo e Spinaci. That's what we would say. They come up to me, they'd be like, Paolo e Spinaci? I'd say, CC. And, like, that would be it. Like, I would get that every meal. And it was the best chicken and spinach I've ever had.
Yeah.
No matter what you order over there, it's incredible. But We lived with a guy, me and the two other Americans and I, we lived with a guy from Rome who we were housing. He was our defensive tackle, and who was one of my best friends, great person, Big Manny. He whipped up some carbonara every now and then, and it was the best thing I've ever tasted to this day. Non-negotiable, nothing compares.
Big Manny's carbonara is the best thing you've ever had, non-negotiable.
Non-negotiable.
Wow. Now I'm getting really, really hungry. That sounds amazing. So is it tough?
The food there is just so fresh. I mean, you could eat a pizza. I mean, you eat a whole pie here, and you're done. You're going to sleep for 12 hours, can't get off the couch.
Yeah.
You eat a whole pie there, and you're ready to go train. You know, like, it's just different. It's different. The way they prepare their food.
It's like health food. It's like energy food.
It's incredible. It's incredible.
Wow. That sounds amazing. Mike Vannucci of the Florence Guelphi joining us here on the show. This is very cool, man. Well, you can go and get your Guelphi Vannucci jerseys, I'm sure, online somewhere.
So the team's actually doing a, I don't want to, it's a fundraiser, but it's not like a GoFundMe type thing where it's like, hey, donate money, thank you. You purchase shirts, you purchase hats, you purchase all types of different perks and stuff. And part of the money you use to purchase the items goes towards the team, because we're trying to help the game grow over there. So if you go to the Guelphi Firenze, any of their social media accounts, you can find the link to that, and that would be great.
Very cool. Mike Vannucci joining us from the Guelphi of the Italian League here on the show. Mike, great stuff, man. Best of luck in the upcoming season. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. You know, we here are not only entertainment, but we are also education and information. And we can hang our hat on that. Mraz, if we could get you to Italy, what would you, the damage you would do?
Imagine how thin I'd be if I could eat whole pies and run marathons. That's where I gotta be.
When we come back, your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut this morning, including more Miko Grimes nonsense. Plus your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Pardon me, my fault. I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Jeff in Detroit tweets, sorry, Corey Dillon. I watched OJ get 273 against my Lions back in 76. An awesome performance. The crowd stood every time he got the football. Yeah, it's just so easy for modern athletes to not realize what happened before they got there. The world always has revolved around them since they were in high school, highly recruited and then drafted, catered to when they're with their professional team. And so everything that came before, a lot of them have no idea about. And that's a shame, because the guys that came before paved the way for you. O.J. Simpson is a lunatic. O.J. Simpson is a whack job. O.J. Simpson, I think we all can agree, murdered two people. But for Corey Dillon to say, why is O.J. Simpson in the Hall of Fame and I'm not, and he took the non-football stuff out of it, is ludicrous in its himself. Because if you wanted to take O.J. Simpson out of the Hall of Fame for off of the football field stuff, that's totally fine by me. But don't sit here and tell me that you were a better football player than O.J. Simpson because you have more total rushing yards. Not the same. You had a 16-game schedule. He had a 14-game schedule. He led the league in rushing 4 out of 5 years. You never did. He ran for 2,000 yards in a 14-game schedule, which seemed inhuman at the time, still seems inhuman. He was the only guy ever to do it. After that, it took Eric Dickerson to hit 2,105 at a 16-game schedule. And guys like TD and Jamal Lewis, again, needed 16 games, Adrian Peterson, to get to 2,000 yards. None of them got to 2,000 yards in 14 games. He also won the Heisman, which you did not, although that doesn't factor into your Pro Football Hall of Fame candidacy. But give me a break. Know something about the guys that came before you. Darren tweets in, D.A. Mraz is a moron. Ford mass-produced in 1903.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Chuck tweets, 1903, Ford created the assembly line. 1908, probably they were full-on created the Model T, but horses were still in the South in 1930.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Nathan tweets, listing for the oil fields of Texas, it's way too hot. Can you beam me up for some cool AC? Kenny tweets, and you say A-Rod is dumb, D.A. How about Mraz? No cars in the 40s? Give me a break.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
Yeah, at times his lack of basic knowledge is shocking. It's startling. It's shocking that he has a high school diploma and also a college diploma.
I wasn't alive in the 40s. So to expect me to know that, it's 40 years before I'm born. It's ridiculous.
Well, you had to learn about the Model T in high school.
You know what? They would start this curriculum, and we'd always end up back at the Civil War. I wouldn't get to cars, ever. I blame the school districts.
You didn't get to cars like you just stopped paying attention, or your class never got
class. It always started, you know, with the Mayflower and ended with the Civil War. They would always say, hey, we're going to get up to Martin Luther King. We never do. Every year in the social studies, it's the same stuff with these schools.
Again, you're blaming other people for you not knowing, but you didn't. You say you started with the Pilgrims and the Mayflower. You also didn't know Columbus wasn't a pilgrim.
I mean, it's been a long time since I sat in a class. But to expect me to know stuff that I was never taught 40 years in advance is just absurd. Well, and I'm sure a lot of these people didn't know.
You think that most of our listeners didn't know there were cars in the 40s? Did you ever watch a movie from the 40s?
Well, the listeners who didn't know aren't tweeting you right now, which are a lot of people.
Did you learn about World War II?
Did I watch a movie in the 40s? I need sound, man. I'm not watching them silent flicks.
I mean, again, you don't think there was sound in the 40s?
No, it was
sound.
You
think they were just talkies?
But they always had, you know, with Houdini and the black and white movies and
you
stuff.
You think that was the 40s?
We're going to move on. We're going to get to the cut line, I guess.
I mean, Pete, help me out here.
No, I can't. It's hard. I can't.
You think Houdini was in the 40s? So what do you think happened in World War II?
We won.
Okay, thank God you knew that. So the 1940s is Joe DiMaggio. Do you think Joe DiMaggio didn't have a car and didn't have sound in his movies?
I don't know about the movies, but you're right. Now that I think about it, if you're putting it in sports terms, DiMaggio definitely drove some kind of old Buick or something.
Do you think Babe Ruth had a car?
I don't know. I could see the Babe with the crown on, cigar out of hanging out of his mouth with a couple of rusty horses riding through Central Park.
Oh, yeah. To get to games, he rode on a horse and buggy.
Parking would be a little rough. No easy pass on those things.
Add it to the list. You have heard it here. Add it to the list. It's time for your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee, cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
Big trade in Major League Baseball. Chicago trade. Windy City. Winds are blowing as Jose Quintana, maybe the number one target of the MLB trade deadline, goes to the defending world champion Chicago Cubs. Jose Quintana, who's under contract, under control for the next couple of years, brings back a haul, including one of the Cubs' top prospects in Jimenez, and then a number of other prospects and young players to the Chicago White Sox. By the way, the White Sox have now turned the trick on three different big-time deals to get major prospects to restock their farm system and to restock their young roster. The Cubs need a jolt, and the Cubs are getting lousy performances from John Lester, John Lackey, Jake Arrieta, and the rest of their starting rotation. So getting Quintana is a huge pull, but is it enough? Because the Cubs have been languishing, hanging out below 500 all-star break. They need a jolt and probably had to overpay to get Quintana because the White Sox don't want him to go across town and then remind everybody in town of how great he is for the next 3 years.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Miko Grimes es loco, and she's admitting it in a piece with Sports Illustrated. She says, quote, people say I got my husband cut for the Dolphins with my mouth. I say, duh, that was the goal. Yeah, I don't agree with that. I don't think she meant to get him cut. But Miko is so lunatic fringe on social media and publicly. She's gone after the media. She's ripped Ryan Tannehill. She's done everything possible to be a humiliation for her husband. And now she's saying, yeah, I meant to get him released. I meant to get him cut for the Dolphins. When the Dolphins said, we just want to move in a different direction because partially about Miko Grimes. She said she tried to go as wild as possible on social media. And she says, Brent said, go for it. I got his full permission to be as disrespectful to the Dolphins as I wanted to be. And I threw in Tannehill because I don't like him or his wife. You know what? There's other ways to get released. I don't believe that this was some type of great chess play by Miko Grimes to get him released. I think you can go behind the scenes and say, hey, cut me. But it also makes you radioactive around the league when your wife is that nuts. And so why would you just want to harm his future employment or his future earnings as well? Miko, I'm not buying it.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line this morning. Well, it doesn't take long learning this show, listening to this show, to realize that Mraz has some holes in his base knowledge. But never was that so evident as with the Geography Bee, which happened 1 year ago. 1 year ago today, we held the Geography Bee, where I asked Mraz a series of what I thought was pretty basic elementary school geography questions. His answers left us all mouth agape, and that is today's epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
This is the one we expect to probably get some giggles out of, right, James? James is anxious for this one. It's the 15th and final question. What's the predominant language of Brazil?
Is Mraz going to survive?
Okay. We're going to reason with ourselves here. You would expect me to say Brazilian, obviously, which would cause giggles. Oh, man. Oh, it's not Spanish. Oh. You know what? No, I'm going to go back to my original methods.
Oh, no.
Does it get this cold in Japan?
Brazil is near.
Like 45 seconds.
Rio, Egyptian.
Holy crap.
You're failures! Failures!
No way. No way.
They're near each other?
No way.
What other country speaks a different language that's near it?
No way. No, there's no...
I was going to say Rio Anise, but I know that that's just the city.
Rio Anise. The two questions were Egyptian, the two answers, and Rio Anise.
Are you okay, mister?
I was convinced there's no language you could give me that would make me laugh, and I was dead wrong.
What, can I get the real language? The pyramids are in Egypt.
Right.
That's in Africa.
Okay.
Okay, and that's where Brazil is. Or not.
Not.
Well, where could it be then? Come on, where is it then?
The soundtrack of his life.
Oh, my goodness.
South America? Is it South America? Oh, that's why the time zone thing isn't a big deal for the Olympics, then. That would make sense. Idiots.
Oh, okay.
Do they speak Chile?
That's right.
Yes, they speak Chile.
Oh, that's...
You still haven't given me the answer. What is the answer?
The answer is Portuguese.
Ah.
Screw you, Portugal!
Portuguese.
That makes sense.
You were close.
That makes sense. I was close.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Watching Pete the Body Bilotti's face turn red as he laughs hysterically at Mraz's idiocy is worth watching the webcast for. WatchDA.com. Just amazing. Just turning beet red, doubled over in laughter and pain. Doesn't get any better than that.
Oh, a half hour full of laughs.
Doesn't get any better than that. Jason just tweeted a picture. Jason tweets, I can't stop laughing. This is how Babe Ruth showed up to play for the 2070 Yankees. And he included a picture of Babe Ruth on a horse in a coonskin cap. I just retweeted it. It's too good. Yeah, Babe Ruth showed up on a freaking horse to play for the 27 Yankees. Yeah, Joe DiMaggio, horse and buggy, get into the stadium. Ted Williams, no cars. Mraz thought cars were invented in the 50s. Says, how am I supposed to know that? It was 40 years before I was born. And here I am ripping Corey Dillon for not knowing O.J. Simpson's career. Oh, too good. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. So good. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan handling the Watch DA digital broadcast today. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.